to Iran, let innocent ships pass freely. These international waters belong to all nations, not to Iran to tax, toll, or control. To our partners, allies, and the rest of the world, this is a temporary mission for us. As I've said before, the world needs this waterway a lot more than we do. We're stabilizing the situation so commerce can flow again, but we expect the world to step up. At the appropriate time and soon, we will hand responsibility back to you.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 5th. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started, hit that like button and subscribe to this channel if you're not already subscribed. And if you're watching from your mobile device, then hit that hype button. If you have any hypes left, you get 3 hypes a week if you're watching videos from your mobile device. So allocating one of those hypes to this video is very much appreciated. Let's talk about some news and let's start things off with what happened in Washington, D.C. yesterday. We had a shooting at the Washington Monument. Some guy pulled out his gun at the Washington Monument and Secret Service. They fired back at this guy. And there was a child, a minor, that was injured in this shootout. But the Secret Service, I believe they caught this guy. They got this guy. But the shootout at the Washington Monument, because it's close by to the White House, actually resulted in a lockdown at the White House for a period of time. So that happened yesterday in Washington, D.C. And we have a 2-day ceasefire now announced by the Kremlin. It was a 1-day ceasefire that the Kremlin announced for May 9th, Victory Day. I talked about that in my video update from yesterday. And it has now become a 2-day ceasefire, May the 8th and May the 9th. Now, yesterday, I talked about how Zelensky threatened Russia with drone strikes into Moscow on May the 9th. Le Goblin Ver was in Yerevan in Armenia attending the European political summit or political event, political get-together, whatever it's called. And he issued a statement in front of all the European cool kids, along with Mark Carney as well, who was attending the event. I don't know what Mark Carney of Canada was doing at this event, but anyway. So Zelensky, he starts talking about how the Russian military is weak. He starts talking about how Russia is at war with Ukraine and Europe. He slipped the Europe in there, a sneaky, sneaky green goblin anyway. And then he threatens Russia. He threatens Moscow with a drone strike on May the 9th. And this caught the attention of the Russian military. And so they issued what I believe to be one of their strongest statements since the beginning of the special military operation, if not their strongest. This is their strongest statement since the SMO, coming from the Russian military, the Russian Ministry of Defense. Here is what they posted in response to Le Goblin Ver's threat of drone strikes into Moscow on May the 9th. In accordance with the decision of Supreme Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, a ceasefire is declared on 8-9 May 2026 in honor of the celebration of the victory of the Soviet people in the Great Patriotic War. We expect the Ukrainian side to follow this example. At the same time, we have taken note of the statement made by the head of the Kiev regime in Yerevan at the European Political Community Summit, which contains threats to strike Moscow on 9 May. The armed forces of the Russian Federation will take all necessary measures to ensure the security of the festive events. Should the Kiev regime attempt to carry out its criminal plans aimed at disrupting the celebration of the 81st anniversary of the victory in the Great Patriotic War, the armed forces of the Russian Federation will launch a retaliatory, massive missile strike on the center of Kiev. Despite the capabilities at its disposal, Russia has previously refrained from such actions for humanitarian reasons. We warn the civilian population of Kiev and the staff of foreign diplomatic missions to leave the city in a timely manner. The last couple of sentences must have freaked out the collective West. And the Green Goblin. I bet you the Green Goblin was pooping in his pants after reading this statement from the Russian military. Look, if this was a warning issued by Medvedev or by Putin, I think the collective West, NATO, and Le Goblin Vert would have just ignored it. And they most probably would have launched strikes into Moscow on May the 9th. But coming from the Russian military, the way they worded this statement, I think now that, I'm pretty confident now that Ukraine, that Kiev, that the collective West is not going to launch any missile strikes into Moscow on May the 9th. I think they're going to go along with the ceasefire for the 8th and the 9th. They're going to go along with it. Yeah, no doubt about it. The sentence, the last sentence in the statement where the Russian military talks about striking the center of Kiev and that people should evacuate if there's drone strikes into Moscow on May the 9th. People should evacuate and they're going to hit the center of Kiev. You know who that's directed at? That's directed at the political class, the political elite, the oligarchs, all the people that are in Kiev that are driving around in their Bentleys and their Lamborghinis. And the political oligarch elite class, we're going to hit the center of Kiev if you guys send drones into Moscow. So I'm sure they freaked out. And then talking about diplomats, foreign missions evacuating Kiev if drones are launched into Moscow on May the 9th. I'm sure that freaked out the collective West in a big way. So they probably told Zelensky, they probably decided in Yerevan, yeah, we're going to adhere to Russia's 8 and 9 ceasefire. We'll go along with it. But you know, the problem is that they can't come out and say that. Nor can they do it quietly. They can't just agree to the ceasefire quietly. They can't come out with a statement and say, okay, we'll agree to your 8-9 ceasefire. So you know what they did? They concocted a whole new narrative, a whole new story, where they got the Green Goblin to announce a Ukraine ceasefire. Not because of any event or parade or anything like that. Nope. They get the Green Goblin to come out with a statement and to say that Ukraine is announcing a two-day ceasefire on May 5 and May the 6th. Why? What's going on May 5 or 6th? Nothing. Just because we want to announce a two-day ceasefire in response to Russia's ceasefire. So you see what they're doing? They can't say we're going to agree to Russia's ceasefire. So they come up with an alternative narrative. They say, well, we're going to call a ceasefire on the 5th and the 6th. And so they're betting on the fact that Russia will agree to a ceasefire on the 5th, the 6th. You then have the 7th, which is just one day, and then you get to the 8th and the 9th, and they're hoping that Russia will agree to their two-day ceasefire, and then they can come out and say, well, we're also agreeing to Russia's ceasefire. That's why they came up with this alternative two-day ceasefire before the 8th and the 9th. Zelensky counters Moscow's Victory Day truce with earlier May 6 ceasefire. Life over parades, Kiev said, urging Moscow to show whether it wants peace or military spectacle. Yeah, the statement from the Russian military freaked them out. Absolutely freaked them out. They were probably planning something on May the 9th. And I bet you they read this statement and they said, F no, no way. Whatever we're planning, stop it. We need a new story to all of this. How about if we announce our own ceasefire on May the 5th and the 6th? We're pretty sure that Russia will go along with it, or at least we hope that Russia goes along with it. And then when Russia goes along with it, we can then say, okay, because Russia honored our ceasefire, which is connected to no events, no parades, nothing in history, has nothing to do with any type of parade that's going to take place or anything like that. They just picked the 2 days before the 8th and the 9th. And then they can say, okay, well, because Russia agreed to our ceasefire, we're going to agree to their ceasefire. And they save face. They save face. That's what it's all about. They don't want to look like they got scared or spooked or frightened by the Russian military. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. We'll see if Russia says that they'll agree to the 5 and 6 May ceasefire from Ukraine. We'll see if they agree to it. But you see, the way they word it is they're going to say if Russia doesn't agree to the ceasefire, then they're going to come out with statements and say, you see, Putin doesn't want diplomacy. He's not looking for diplomacy. We announced a ceasefire, and he doesn't want any diplomacy. He wants to continue the war. So anyway, that's the story there. We had the attack on the UAE pipeline, which happened yesterday. This is an interesting story. According to all the media outlets, Iran, for some reason, decided, out of the blue it seems, kind of out of the blue. I'll tell you what the media is saying as to why Iran allegedly attacked the UAE pipeline. I'm not so convinced. But anyway, all of a sudden we get an attack on the Fujairah pipeline. Terminal, actually, the petroleum facility, which is the end point of the ADCOP pipeline in the UAE, which is the one pipeline which bypasses the Strait of Hormuz. It's the one way that the UAE can export oil without having to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. It sits, if you look at a map, it sits just outside the Strait of Hormuz. This petroleum facility, this export facility, which is the end point of the pipeline, is right on the edge, right outside the Strait of Hormuz. And then you can see the pipeline crossing through the UAE. And that's the one way that the UAE can export around 1.5 to 1.8 million barrels per day of crude. That's the capacity of this pipeline. And it was hit yesterday. And the reason that the mainstream media is saying that Iran hit this pipeline is to send a type of message to the United States, to the countries in the region, which is that Hormuz is the only way that oil is going to leave the area, that energy is going to leave the area. It's either Hormuz or nothing. We're not going to allow any alternative routes. So that's what the media is saying. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I would think that if you go by the way Iran has been going about this war, I don't see them hitting this pipeline. This type of preemptive strike, which is what it kind of was, it just runs counter to the way they've been doing things so far. Usually they act on a retaliation. Whatever the U.S. and Israel does, then they retaliate, and they retaliate very well, and they pick their targets very well. But they just don't come out and do these types of preemptive strikes in order to send a message. Okay, you could say that they're telling the United States, lift the blockade of Iran. Don't you try and UAE, don't you try to export oil outside of bypassing the Strait of Hormuz. We're not going to allow it. And we want the United States to lift the blockade. Okay, I understand that. I can see that. But I would think that Iran would have not played that card of hitting the pipelines just yet. Iran would wait for the United States to make a move. If it was going to make a move militarily, the United States or Israel, say they were going to attack Iran in some way, then they would play this card of hitting the pipelines, right? The United States attacks Iranian facilities or Iranian export Karg Island or something, or export hubs or whatever. And then I could see Iran saying, okay, well, you hit our facilities. Well, we're going to hit the one facility that the UAE uses to bypass Hormuz. We're going to take that out of the game, off the table. That's going to be our retaliation. I don't understand why you would reveal that card, why you would play that card. But what do I know? Anyway, I'm thinking this is some sort of, I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. It feels as if there's some forces that are trying to get the U.S. by going after the UAE. They're trying to get the U.S. to strike at Iran, to get the hot war starting back up again. That's what it feels like. My nose is itching. I feel like the Green Goblin. Anyway, listen to this. I'm going to read you this post from Arachi. So listen to what he had to say. Events in Hormuz, the foreign minister of Iran, events in Hormuz make clear that there is no military solution to a political crisis. As talks are making progress with Pakistan's gracious effort, the U.S. should be wary of being dragged back into quagmire by ill-wishers. So should the UAE. Project Freedom is Project Deadlock. The U.S. should be wary of being dragged back into quagmire by ill-wishers. So should the UAE. Is Arachi hinting at the attack at the UAE being some sort of a false flag to try and drag the United States and the UAE into conflict with Iran? Is that what he's hinting at, or am I reading this wrong? We'll see. We'll see what happens following this this pipeline strike against the UAE. Let's talk about Rubio, and he is traveling to Italy. He is going to meet with Giorgia Meloni, and he is going to meet with the Pope. He is taking this trip to smooth things over with Meloni. A lot of tension between Meloni and Trump, and of course to smooth things over with the Pope. A lot of tension between the Pope and Trump, or between Trump and the Pope. I don't think the Pope is worrying about what Trump is posting on social media or anything like that. But Trump, very angry with the Pope, or was very angry with the Pope. And Rubio is now going to make a trip to Italy and to the Vatican to meet with the Pope and with Meloni. So the interesting part to this, I don't even know what kind of bug that is. The interesting part to the story is that Rubio is traveling. he's actually going to be traveling as Secretary of State somewhere outside the United States. He's not going to an MMA event. All right, Rubio. Good job, man. You're actually going to start acting like the Secretary of State. Yeah, so far it's been Witkoff and Kushner. They've been the U.S. Secretary of States, the U.S. Foreign diplomats, foreign mission. So, Rubio to Italy. Starmer is still in Yerevan. The U.K. signed some sort of a strategic defense agreement or strategic alliance with Armenia, which I guess is good for Starmer. Something happens, Pashinyan can come to his rescue. I don't know. But the UK signing some sort of strategic deal with Armenia, it doesn't make any sense. But whatever. Just and anything to keep out of the UK, to stay as far away from London as possible, because we have elections, local and national elections, which are going to take place this Thursday, I believe. And the reports are that Starmer is going to get smashed, that Labour is going to get pummeled, as will the Conservatives. The establishment parties in the UK are going to take an absolute beating in these elections coming up. Keir Starmer braces for his week from hell. Local and national elections pose the biggest test yet to the British Prime Minister's battered authority. Yeah, the end of Starmer is approaching. The end of Starmer is fast approaching. Wow. So yeah, Starmer is staying away from Britain. The European Union, they're making all kinds of smart energy moves, very smart strategic energy moves from Ursula von der Leyen. They are now going to cut off Chinese solar energy come November the 1st. No more cooperation with Chinese solar energy parts. The EU is citing security concerns as imported inverters could be used to manipulate energy networks and gain unauthorized access to operational data, which could lead to countrywide blackouts. Yeah, they're citing security concerns as to why the European Union is now going to cut off solar energy parts from China. Wow. Cut off Russia, cut off China. Qatar is no longer in operation. Wow. Okay, November 1st, no more solar. No more solar, at least from China. Way to go, Ursula. Securing Europe's energy interests. It has to be deliberate. It has to be deliberate. There's no way that these people can be this incompetent. It's impossible that you could be this incompetent. They have to be doing it on purpose. They have to be doing it on orders from the US, from someone else. There's no way you're this bad at your job. Impossible. I mean, maybe studying in Brave, I can see it. But nah, it's deliberate. They want to cut out all the energy. I still can't figure out why. But there's probably a few reasons. Let me know in the comments down below why the EU has decided on this course of isolating themselves completely from all kinds of energy from all over the world, with the exception of U.S. LNG and U.S. oil. That's going to be the only game in town for the EU. But anyway, that was an interesting story. And we also have this report from Politico, where they are saying that the EU is telling their member countries to fight poverty without offering fresh cash. The plan set out in the Commission's first anti-poverty strategy and seen by Politico will urge governments to better coordinate national policies engage young people, support those living paycheck to paycheck, and review protections for older and other vulnerable people. But for now, the strategy comes without a fresh cash injection, and critics say the effort won't succeed unless the EU backs it with targeted funding and gives the Commission a stronger role to ensure capitals follow through. Any spare cash goes to Le Gobelin Vert. It will not go to, unfortunately, sadly, tragically, it will not go to the people in need in Europe or to fight poverty or anything like that. Any money that the European Union has, any spare change, it all goes to the military-industrial complex and or to Project Ukraine. So it's not much of a fighting poverty plan when the EU tells their member states, we want you to fight poverty. Well, what are you going to give us, EU, to help us fight poverty? Nothing. We're not going to give you anything, but we're just telling you, fight poverty, but we're not going to give you anything at all. We don't have anything to give you. And if we had something to give you, it would go to Zelensky. So let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap up today's video. And we go back to Yerevan, to Armenia, where all the EU cool kids were taking part in Europe's political community economic forum or summit, whatever it's called. And you know, Zelensky, I think he got on a plane and now he's traveling to the Middle East, I think. He's meeting with Bahrain or Kuwait or Oman. Yeah, he's never in Kiev, that guy. He is never in Kiev. He went to Yerevan, issued his threat to Russia, collected money from Canada. I think he got a cool 200 or 300 million from Canada, collected money from the UK, and now he's flying to the Middle East. But anyway, Macron decided to hang out in Yerevan, and Pashinyan was there. And they decided to rock out. They decided to play some music together. Macron on the piano, Pashinyan on the drums. You see, Pashinyan, he likes hanging out with the EU cool kids. He wants to be a part of the EU cool kids. Yeah, so he decided to play the drums as Macron was, I don't know if he was playing the piano or just singing. I think Macron was just singing. Too bad Zelensky wasn't there. Maybe he was attending this dinner event. Maybe he left after the dinner event. Because if Zelensky was there, he could have played piano next to Macron, if you know what I mean. Macron is singing and Zelensky is next to him and he decides to play the piano in his very special way. And Macron's like, what? I can play the piano, Mr. Macron. You watch. Watch me play. Right, Podolyak? Yes, Mr. President. I love the way you hit those keys. Oh, my God. No, Pashinyan likes hanging out with the EU cool kids. Armenia is going to pay a terrible price for all of this, and an absolutely terrible, tragic, horrific price for all of this. But Pashinyan, he's made some new friends, and they're going to turn on him. No doubt they're going to turn on him. They're going to turn on his country. For that, there is no doubt. Anyway, we have the photo from this event that everyone is talking about, the group photo. You know, they always like to take their famous group photo. It's very important when they have these events to take the group photo. And this photo has a lot of people talking. Now look, when this is legit. This is not AI or anything like that. And it's not AI because I actually found the photo, the exact photo on the Green Goblin's X feed. He posted the photo. So it's legit. And the photo that he posted is front, a front view. So the photo, the group photo, has Now, when you look at it from the front, I'm going to show you the front view right now, as posted by Le Gobelin Vert. When you look at it from the front, definitely callous is definitely too far off to the, if you're looking at it to your right or to your left, depending on which way you wanna look at it. But she's definitely too far off from the group, right? She's a little bit too separated from the group. And that's looking at it front on. Now, when you look at it from an angle, and I'll post the photo from an angle view, then it looks like Callis is even more separated from the group. It's almost as if she's in exile. What's she doing way out there? And then you can see Maloney, and I think that's the leader of Armenia, and Le Gobelin Vert. They're all wearing the same outfit. Le Gobelin Vert, Maloney, and the Armenian leader. They're all wearing the same outfit. Yeah, that's funny. And then you look at Mark Rutte, the CEO of NATO. Looks like he's holding something. I don't know what he's holding. He's either holding his belt or holding some sort of mobile device or something. I don't know what he's holding. Anyway, that's the photo from this event, the European Political Community Summit. That's what this thing is called, the European. It's the eighth European Political Community Summit. Definitely, Callis is too far off. She's been shunned, it seems. Yeah. So that's a funny photo. Tikhanovskaya was also present at this event. She's the Juan Guaido of Belarus. They don't give up. You know, the EU, they do not give up. The globalists. If there's one thing if you can admire them for, if there's one quality that you can say is admirable with the globalists, it's that they never give up. I mean, to the detriment of the world, and they make everything worse by not giving up. But they don't give up. Tikhanovskaya is the president of Belarus, even though it's ridiculous and it's nonsense. But she goes to all the events. She's in the group photos. She goes to the summits. And they still walk around. They run around the world and they talk about Tikhanovskaya as being the president of Belarus. They don't let it go. Anyway, I thought I would mention that, but that's it. I think that's the video for today. I don't know if I have any more clown worlds. Politico has an article with the title, Merz's Strategy for Dealing with Trump's Anger. Tell him he's right. What have I been saying? What have I been saying, Politico? Come on. Of course Merz was going to walk back all of his anti-Trump tough talk. Of course. BlackRock Merz. So that is the video. Thinking, should I go get a coffee over there while I'm here? Yeah, let me go get a coffee while I'm here. That's the video, theduran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we are on Telegram. I already said to like this video, but now that the video is over, and if you liked what you watched, what you saw, then hit that like button. Give this video a hype. Share this video. Check us out on Substack. And I will see everybody tomorrow. We've got a Cafe Nero right here. I'm going to sit down for about 30 minutes, chill out a bit, and then get this video uploaded. Take care, everyone.